Merry Christmas. The last day where it really is appropriate for us, as this is the 12th day of Christmas, that bridge between the birth of Jesus and the celebration of the Magi's arrival with this feast we know as Epiphany. Epiphany is a wonderful feast day. And we are doubly blessed this year that this particular Epiphany falls on a Sunday this year, and so it enables us to celebrate it in a little bit grander fashion. I think in all the Bible there are some incredible stories, but this one has to be the wildest. This one has to be the craziest story in all the Scriptures from several perspectives. When you think about these Magi looking up and seeing a star in the sky, and basically putting their entire lives on hold for what most theologians agree was 1 to 2 years, and then just start following that star. Is that not amazing? And for most women, the most amazing thing is the fact that there's a group of men who stopped and asked for directions. But it is amazing, this epiphany, the word itself being manifestation or realization. And there are several realizations that we can get from this story. This is one of those archetypal type of texts in the gospel that have been used throughout the ages for the basis of imaginative meditation, meaning we read the story and we put ourselves into it. And we find that God usually has a message for us based on where we are on our own journey. Like the microcosm of this particular journey that they're on becomes a symbol of the macrocosm of our whole life spiritual journey. I've used this text a lot in my own meditation through the years. So I thought, today, seeing that it appears that the writer's strike is over and David Letterman is back on the air, we would have our own top 10 list today of things that I think have been important, at least for me, over the years in learning about this particular story. Number one, welcome even those who we would prefer not to love. Remember when we looked at the genealogy the Sunday before Christmas, and even in Jesus' family tree there was some dysfunction, there were some people of questionable character. And Matthew does that as he's going to weave throughout his gospel to show us that Jesus came because even though there might be separations with each other, no one is separated from God's love. That is the basic epiphany happening here. People come who are not Jews, people coming from far away, and they are realizing that this Jesus is King for all people. So perhaps as we begin this new year, maybe something we should look at in our own lives is, who are we finding it hard to love? Have we dismissed an entire race of people? Have we dismissed an entire group of people because of the way they are made or the way they choose to live their lives? Are we dismissing and not loving people because what they have done or they have not done? The message initially is for us to love everyone. And we begin there. Number two, set your goals high. Consider yourself as king. You know, in all the scriptures that specifically refer to this story, these Magi are never mentioned as kings. It is only by looking at the Old Testament reading that we heard in the Psalm, that the prophecy said that the kings would come and bring those particular gifts. And so we have made it now to be we three kings. But perhaps we need to make that assumption for ourselves as well. Consider yourself as a king. Let me tell you this story to explain. There was an African-American pastor of a church, a small church in a small town, doing incredible things within that community, making a huge difference in people's lives. The pastor was interviewed, and he was asked to tell what his secret was that was getting those people so inspired to do God's work so well. He said this, "I hold a crown, a king's crown, above my people's heads, and I watch them grow up into it." The vision, the goals that we have should be incredibly high because our God has that desire for us. You put your goals high. You see that there is a crown of glory that awaits each one of us, and we strive to achieve it as best we can. We have some incredible goals in the next 6 months in this particular spiritual home of St. Joseph's. Some would say, "Who do you think you are that you could have such a goal?" And our response is, it's not what we think we are. It's what we know God is. That is why we are about the growth. It is God that is doing that, and in the root of our prayer over these last 2-3 years, there's something special going on here, and we can't see any other way to continue it than to try to expand. Look at your own personal life as well. That crown is set before you. What are you doing to grow into it? Number three, leave behind excess baggage. You know, those kings came with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Incredibly valuable gifts, but gifts that were very portable. For them to travel that far on camels from the east to where they ended up in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, there was a lot they needed to leave behind. Metaphorically, on our spiritual journey, beginning this new year together, what is the baggage we're carrying into 2008 that we need to just let go of and start anew so that we might travel far and well on our spiritual journey together? Number four, get to work and find God there. You know, the Magi, they were astrologers or astronomers, Zoroastrian priests, and that's what they did. It was their job to examine the stars. And that's exactly what they were doing when they had the vision of the star to follow. Are you expecting to find God in your daily life, in your work? God is not limited to meeting us in a certain place here in this church, but God wants to be everywhere in our lives. Get to work, and you'll find God there. Number five, give what you are seeking. Let me tell you a story from Leo Buscaglia that puts this into perspective. Leo tells the story of a young college student coming to him, telling him that his passion was gone, his hope for life was gone. He wanted to kill himself. He wanted to end his life. And Leo said, "Before you do that, I want you to go to the old folks' home that's next to our college campus, and I want you to visit some of the people living there." "Why?" said the man. Leo said, "You need to understand life through the eyes of your heart. You need to experience what it is like to give to those who have lost their connection to a meaningful life. Just go up to the front desk and ask if there are people there who haven't had visitors for a long time. And you go and visit them." "What am I going to say?" "I don't know. Tell them anything that will give them hope." See the wisdom here. The young man had no hope, and Leo sent him to try to give hope to others. What happened? He didn't see the student for a month. Then one day during the fall, he noticed the young man getting off of a bus followed by a group of senior citizens, many of them in wheelchairs, coming back from an outing to a baseball game that the young man had organized with his new friends. They chatted together for a while, and before parting, the young man said to Leo, "Thanks for helping me find the eyes of my heart." You know, these magi, they were wealthy men. They had lots of things. They had lots of stuff. There had to have been something missing in their life that they wanted to find that set them out on that journey. What are you missing in your life right now? Hope, joy, peace, love? Start trying to give it to others, and it will come back to us in return. Number six, be willing to take action. It was one thing for those magi to notice the special star. It was a whole other thing for them to be willing to get up on their camels and set out and go and follow. They could have stayed home, read the Jerusalem Times to see who this Messiah was. But they set out and they went on the journey. This Christmas season is usually for most of us a time, one way or another, that we are touched in some way. Whether it was through the beauty of a service we attended, or a special note and Christmas card or phone call, or something that touched our heart in a special way. Don't just hang on to that, but take action and do something with it to share the good news. Number seven. Find God in the stables of life. Can you imagine these wealthy men setting out, following a star for a year? And they come and the star stops over this simple little poverty abode where Jesus was living? They had to be surprised. How often in our lives, just like Father William talked about the different things, the wolves we feed, we have an opportunity in our lives to find God through the difficulties and disappointments and simple things as well. God is there in all things, sometimes in the places we least expect. Are we finding God in the stables of our lives? Number eight. Offer your best to God. This is what the wise men did. You know, those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, sometimes looked upon as very impractical gifts, they could have been very practical gifts because they were valuable. They could have been used by Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to finance the trip that they would have had to take to escape Herod. They were things that would have been really helpful to them. And they were the best that the wise men could bring. Are you bringing your best to God? For some of us, because of our limitations, or for some of us, because of our lack of limitations, we have an incredible ability to bring our best to Him. Number nine. You experience Christ and you go home by another road, a different way. Those wise men, truly wise, after they knew who Jesus was, they decided they would avoid all that in the person of Herod, symbolizing total evil, symbolizing that which would destroy others and destroy them and kill the very life. Is it not the same for us? Once we have Christ in our lives, we have to go home by another road. There are changes that will need to take place in our relationships. Friendships we might need to re-examine. Cynical people we cannot hang around with anymore because we cannot have that now that we have something different inside of us. Is God calling you to go home by a different road? And last but not least, number 10. Because of what happens in the stable, it marks a new direction for your life. Things or different. This incredible, almost unbelievable story is our story. You know, when we get to the end of each of our lives, if we knew when we were young what the story would be at the end of our lives, we would say it would have to be in the fiction section at Barnes & Noble. Because once Christ is in our life, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Be ready on this journey for incredible things to happen. And right when we least expect it. I'd like to end with another man who went on a journey. His name is St. Patrick. And he was going on a dangerous journey, and his friends wanted him to take all of his armor with him. And what has come down to us as legend is St. Patrick saying, "The only armor that I need is Jesus Christ." It's come down to us as what is called the prayer of St. Patrick's breastplate. May his prayer be ours. Christ be beside me. Christ be before me. Christ be behind me, King of my heart. Christ be within me. Christ be below me. Christ be above me, never to part. Christ on my right hand, Christ on my left hand, Christ all around me, shield in the strife. Christ in my sleeping, Christ in my sitting, Christ in my rising, light of my life. Amen.